Today's sermon is called A Mother's Love, comes from Matthew 20, verses 20 through 23. And someone wrote, Mother's Day is traditionally a day when the children give something back to the mothers for all the spit they produced towards dirty faces, all the old gum they held in their hands, all the noses they wiped, and all the bloody knees they made well with their kisses. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, enduring all the football games, soccer games, all those things in the rain. It's a day of appreciation for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do, not believing them, and they said, I hate you, and sharing their good times and their bad. So my first thought is, what are mothers? Well, mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners, and some mothers are mowers of lawns. Mothers are nurses. Mothers are doctors. Mothers are psychologists. And so mothers are counselors. Mothers are chauffeurs. And they're coaches. See, mothers are developers of personality, molders of vocabulary, and shapers of attitude. Mothers are the soft voice saying, I love you. And mothers are the link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things and much, much more. One lady writes a story, and she tells of God and the act of creating mothers. And she said that on that day that God was creating mothers, he already worked long overtime. And an angel came and said to him, Lord, you sure spent a lot of time on this one. And the Lord turned and said, have you read the specifications on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She has to have 150 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She has to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken knee to a broken heart. She has to have a lap that will disappear every time she stands up. She has to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she is supposed to have 6 pairs of eyes, 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel, that's impossible. It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me, said the Lord, it's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through the closed door so they, whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? Sherry knows what they're doing in there. Mother has to have another pair of eyes in the back of her head to see all the things she did not supposed to see, but must see. Then she has 1 pair in front. They can look at a child that just goofed up and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. That's too much, said the angel. You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating something very much like myself. I've already made up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. Then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, she's too soft. Oh, but she is tough, said the Lord. You'd be surprised how much this mother can do. Can she think? Asked the angel. Not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason. She can compromise. She can persuade. Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. This one's a leak, he said. I told you you couldn't put that much in one model. That's not a leak, said the Lord. That's a tear. What is a tear for? Asked the angel. Well, it's for joy. It's for sadness. It's for sorrow. It's for disappointment. It's for pride in a child. You're a genius, said the angel. And the Lord said, oh, but I didn't put it there. Maybe we'll listen to this all the better. With all this in mind, we can understand Mrs. Zebedee, the mother of James and John. I'm going to read to you now Matthew 20, 20 through 23. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and you'll be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand, not as mine to give, but it shall be given to them whom is prepared by my Father. Now, Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teaching of Jesus about his kingdom. She also was aware of the fact that his sons James and John were very close to him. They were two-thirds of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. So she was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that they would have positions of responsibility and authority. But in the first part of this story, I want you to listen, because this part of the story may have disturbed Mrs. Zebedee. Listen to me in verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out in the morning to hire the laborers into the vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about a third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out in the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man has hired us. He said unto them, Go also ye into the vineyard, and whatever is right that ye shall receive. So when it was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, Call the laborers, and give them her hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they would have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us which have been born the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, and go your way. I'll give unto you the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I would do with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first be last. For many will be called, few will be chosen. So she's probably aware of this teaching. And of course we notice that when the Lord paid them all at the end of the day, they all received the same wage. Now, it may have caused Mrs. Zebedee to wonder, will my sons have the positions of authority in the Lord's kingdom? So when the opportunity presented itself, she came to the Lord. Matthew said that she bowed before him and made her request. When you establish your kingdom, please let my son sit in places of authority and honor on your right and left hand. Now, we might, as a Christian today, well criticize Mrs. Zebedee for her really great presumptuousness. But since today's Mother's Day, maybe we ought to think for a few moments concerning some popular things about her. We need also to recognize that when she came to Jesus, and while Jesus did not grant her request, but neither did he deny it, he simply reminded her of the cost of being seated on the right hand and the left to her, that it is the Father who determines who will be seated there. So now, what are some good things about Miss Zebedee? First of all, she came to the Lord praying that her sons might be part of His kingdom. That's the church. I can think of no more important task of motherhood than to seek to ensure that your children are part of the church or the kingdom of God on earth. I know that many mothers pray. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not easy, but extremely difficult at times. There's a writer about families. Tells about the time he came home and his son Billy was a small baby. It had been a terrible day for his wife. Billy had been sick. He cried all day. Once as she was changing his diaper, the phone rang and the mother reached over to answer it before fastening up his diaper. And guess what? Little Billy got an attack of diarrhea again. She had to clean up that mess and put him in a clean smelling clothes. Then she took him into the living room and fed him. And she was burping him and he threw up all over hers and himself and the couch too. Now the writer wrote down, "When I come home, I usually smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere. But this time the wife cried out, was all of this in my contract?" You know why I said this or read this? Sometimes mothers pray just out of frustration of it all. And sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach our children, we realize the difficulties of communication. We've got to be certain to understand everything. I know one man who remembers very clearly the time he gave his 2-year-old son, Steve, the very first responsibility. He told Steve to watch Susan, his baby sister, while he stepped out of the room. He only had been gone a few moments when he heard a thud, and then Susan started crying. He rushed back in to find that Susan had fallen from the couch, was stretched out on the floor. Meanwhile, Steve sat there, looked so innocent. And the father said, "Steve, I told you to watch her." And Steve answered, "I did." He watched her fall and he watched her cry. He did exactly what he told to do. See, sometimes we don't think about our communication. Being a parent's not easy. Because you're filled with joy and sometimes with sadness. Sometimes your children make you so proud you want to pop off your buttons. Other times you find enough handkerchief or can't find enough handkerchiefs to dry your tears. I understand the feelings of a mother who had 3 children. They ask her, "If you had to do it all again, would you have children?" "Yes," she replied, "but not the same ones." Being a parent is not easy. It's difficult. But Mrs. Zebedee gives us a valuable example, for she prayed earnestly that her sons would be part of His kingdom, that's the church on earth. We need that concern for our children. What good is it for our children to be successful making money, or driving fine automobiles, or living in good neighborhoods when they don't know the Lord? What does it matter if they gain the whole world but lose their souls? Jesus says that. We need to pray for our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, to pray that they will be saved. Saved from eternal damnation and for eternal life in the body of Christ, His church. This is a place to begin. Now, secondly, not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray that her children would be part of the kingdom, but she also prayed that they'd be actively involved and to work in the kingdom. Maybe it's not enough just to be saved. Now, churches all across the country, our churches all the way across the country, are full of people content just to fill a pew on Sunday mornings. And there's many people willing to sit back and receive the blessing, but seldom do they get involved in doing any of the right work of the church. Remember the old saying that 20% of the church does the work of the 100%. But where does the spirit of service begin? Where does it begin? It begins at home with mothers and fathers setting example, praying that their sons and their daughters might be involved in the work of the kingdom as teachers, involved maybe as leaders, maybe discipling others that they might be the ones to go out into the world and find the lost and to see the church continues until Jesus comes. So Mrs. Evans prayed for her children. to be actively involved in the church of the kingdom. And we need to walk in those footsteps too. But thirdly, Mrs. Zebedee had great big expectations. And when you're working in the kingdom, the church, there's no higher position for those on the right and left of the king himself. And that's what she wanted for her sons. She didn't just want to pray with her children to be doorkeepers. She wanted them on the right and left hand of Jesus. Now again, we might consider Mrs. Zebedee brash and presumptuous, but we also can admire her boldness. Too often people will settle for mediocrity in the church. For too long some have been content but just barely making it through the door. For so long they have been content to sit back and let everything happen. It's time to strive for excellency, to reach for the very best there is. The Lord calls to His disciples and told us to be effective leaders in His kingdom. Do you remember my early story, how God says He's making that model as He was creating a mother? He said, I am close to creating something very much like myself. And I suppose that's why today is special. But we recognize a mother's love will probably always be the closest example we have to God's love. It's a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It's a love that sacrificed itself over and over again. It would even dare to lay down its life for its offsprings. There's a story, a true story from World War II. It talks about the Holocaust and how they took lives of millions of people. The one man's story, his name was Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife, her two sons, and mother and father were arrested and placed into a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were easy, simple. As long as you can do the work, you're permitted to live. And when you become too weak to do your work, that's when you become exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, and he knew that the next one would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a real weak, frail child. Every evening, the old Rosenberg came back into the barracks after hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner. He was huddled up and weeping and praying. He said, Josh, tell me it's not true. Joshua turned and said, it's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came from him. But where's your mother? Asked Mr. Rosenberg. Oh, Papa, he said. When they came for David, he was afraid and cried. And Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David. And she took his hand and went out with him with the extermination. Now, people, is motherhood. Mothers, this is your day. Let's celebrate it together. As we close in prayer, thank the Lord for this day.